Hello, and welcome to Real Talk, where curiosity chases truth every Tuesday at noon on KVSH 101.9 FM and on voiceofvashon.org at your convenience. I'm your host, Susan McCabe. Today, we are comfortably moving from overheated political subjects to information each of us can use every day, and that is fitness. What is it? How do I know if I'm fit? How do I get there? And why is it important? To help us answer those questions, I've invited Hannah Kogan, co-owner of Studio Lux in Seattle and on Vashon. Hannah is a 20-year veteran teacher of Pilates, a practitioner of orthobionomy, and a dancer. Welcome, Hannah.
Thank you.
Before we go any further, I've already teased that term, orthobionomy. What is it?
Yes, so orthobionomy, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt the delay that I'm hearing. Can I?
Yeah, there is a delay. Yeah. Do you have your radio on?
No, I don't. But now it's gone. So I don't know if you did something. But
I didn't, but go ahead.
Okay. So orthobionomy is a manual body therapy that was developed by an osteopath. And he found that using forceful manipulations weren't so effective at dealing with the body's alignment. And so he started working with how to basically exaggerate the body's natural preferred position or the way a body's already going, which creates a sense of ease in the joint usually and comfort. It's never uncomfortable. And then the body will actually self-correct. So that's the very short that basically it helps the whole system, hopefully from the inside, correct whatever is going on physically as far as pain, tension, misalignment, that kind of stuff.
So if I have, say, twinges in my hip and when I am rolling over or perhaps getting up and moving around, what would you do? Would you exaggerate the movement of that joint?
Well, it's a little more fine-tuned than that, but yes. So basically, if the person is usually done, this is usually done with the person laying on a massage table, fully clothed. So I would either check the alignment of the pelvis when they're passive. I could just say, okay, look, the hip, does it turn better this way or this way, that kind of feeling. And I can also check points for tension. And the points are kind of like a map for different areas that might need some work. So basically, when you find a place of tension, you can then position the body to release that specific point. So it's very nuanced. It kind of looks like you're doing nothing, but it's this little fine-tuned maneuver that if you can listen to the body and get in the right exact spot, then the body will really well self-correct. If you're just kind of halfway there, then it's like, nothing really happens. So it's usually about getting the right location, and then there's a little bit of compression involved usually, which is, again, very subtle, like an ounce of compression, they usually call it, which is basically lets the proprioceptors, which is a fancy word for the little guys in your joints that tell you where you are in space, it alerts them, this is where I am, and then your brain can basically go, oh, this is where I was, and shift back out of it.
How is it different from chiropractic?
Yeah, so chiropractic would say, if you think of two vertebrae, your vertebrae are twisted, let's twist them back to where they go. And orthobionomy would say, oh, you're twisted. That means everything's tight, pulling you in two different directions. Let's see if we can exaggerate that, which creates slack in both directions. If you think of like the Chinese finger trap that kids used to play with, yeah. You don't pull apart, you slide in. So that slackening is what you want around the joint, whether it's the soft tissue, the tendons, the ligaments, and then that slack allows the body to relax. And then the body goes, oh, my vertebrae are twisted, and then the body releases on its own. So you never force anything back into place. You're kind of showing the body what it's doing, giving it the option to self-correct.
So what kind of success have you had with that? In other words, have you had clients come in who have tried chiropractic or mm-hmm. some other kind of physical therapy that have done better with orthobionomy? And
definitely.
Why?
I mean, that's kind of how I got into it myself, was that I was, as a dancer, I'd injured my back so many times that it was kind of ridiculous. And then I did Pilates first. That was actually my first kind of healing thing after a bunch of PT and chiropractic and massage and everything else didn't work. Pilates got me back again. And then I re-injured myself and Pilates, and I was already strong and fit and had all my Pilates tools, and it wasn't working to help my back. And that's when then luckily I found orthobionomy, and it worked so well on me that that's why I decided to pursue it. And then over the years, it's been really nice to witness that in others. I just love seeing how quickly people's bodies can actually improve. I mean, they'll go back to their patterns again and you'll have to come back. It's not like a one-time fix, but it's impressive to me how quickly, when you work with the nervous system, the body gets it. It feels like it's been listened to. It's not being told, you should go here. It's saying, oh, this is what you like. Okay, we'll go there. And then the body's like, thank you. That's what I've been trying to do this whole time. And then it can figure out how to get back to where it goes.
You know, it sounds a little like Chinese medicine, energetic medicine or medical practices or healing practices, if you will. How old is this practice? How old is this system?
So Arthur Pauls was the developer, and he started it practicing on himself in the 70s or working with it himself. And then he, I think, started training other people in the 80s. But it's been around.
You know, that brings to mind something that I often think of, and that is that when it comes to healthcare and healing, particularly in Western medicine, we're still at the barbaric stage. What do you see as perhaps the progression or the future of healing and in this country, or maybe just body mechanics?
Yeah. I think we're in that stage both, I think, with the way we look at fitness and the way we look at pain and pain management. So we tend to be kind of push harder, if we work harder, we can fix it. And that actually doesn't really work with so many things. And we kind of are starting to realize, I think, that it doesn't work, but we're still, like you said, like in that early stage of it where a lot of people do the hardest version of whatever they need to do to try to get better, and they don't get better, whether it's, again, because they want to become more fit or they just want to get out of shoulder pain or back pain or whatever it may be. So my hope is that I do think we're shifting. I think that there's a lot more recognition in both the Western medicine community, but definitely in the alternative health fields, that are looking at the more subtle approaches, recognizing, Pilates luckily has been it's popular now. And I think that lots of times looks at the more subtle approach to how to work with the human body, and a lot of other exercises, yoga and personal trainers even. I think there's just becoming more awareness of how to train efficiently and smartly as opposed to harder. And I think we're seeing the same thing with the body work field. There's a lot more alternative, more subtle, like Bowen and craniosacral and zero, I can't remember the name of it. There's all these subtle versions of things that are coming out that are starting to become more recognized.
Well, since you mentioned fitness, and that is the topic of our conversation today, how would you, with all these subtle and new revelations about body care, how would you define fitness?
So to me, being fit or having a good sense of fitness in yourself is not looking a certain way or anything like that. It's more about feeling connected to your body, feeling good in your body, and having the natural desire to exercise and the natural desire to want to move and be healthy in our body. And also the natural desire to know when to not exercise if we need a break. I actually think of fitness as just such a, we're designed as humans to want to exercise because we always did. It's instinctual to us. All animals want to move. And we've gotten to a state in our society where we don't really need to anymore. We can kind of do everything very sedentary. And so I think we suffer from that actually a great deal, both psychologically, emotionally, cognitively as we age, physically with our heart health and lung health and all that. And they do keep doing studies again and again to kind of prove how important exercise is. And they keep finding more and more things to show how important it is. And yet there's this kind of dread of it amongst a lot of people that like, oh, I know I need to exercise more. And I think if we can find our love for it again, which might mean going about it more subtly at first and more gently at first and doing things that are more natural to our body, then I think we can find fitness at each stage of life or whatever it might be. Because, if you're injured or if you're a lot older or if you're, postpartum or all these different stages of life, your fitness isn't going to look the same as it did at a different stage. And just to be more, see it more fluidly in that way.
So what would you recommend to someone who comes to you who might be considerably overweight and not having been exercising on a regular basis or dreading the idea of having to exercise? How do you start with them?
Well, then you just start really gently. So you make them, I think what it is too, is you help them feel their body. So many people have stopped feeling their body. In fact, we are actually taught to not feel our body. We're kind of ignore it, you know, take an ibuprofen, don't listen to your back pain, and then it'll go away. And then tomorrow you'll go back and do the same thing. And then 20 years later, your back really hurts and you don't know why. And I think just getting back in touch with our body is actually brings us a sense of joy internally. It's subtle, it's small, it's not necessarily huge and big, but it brings us a sense of contentment. And so if you can help someone find that again through with Pilates, it might be through the most basic, simple breathing exercises, starting to feel their abdominal muscles, that kind of thing, or encouraging them to go take a really easy walk. If you don't want to go walk far, walk for 10 minutes, but get outside. You know, we're lucky in the Northwest, despite all of our rain, we don't have freezing temperatures and we can get out there. And just kind of touching back into that part of us that wants to move. And it might take a really long time. When I had a really bad car accident in 2006. And after a whole year and a half of rehab, when I was finally truly healthy again to move in a way where I wasn't always in pain, I was fascinated by the fact that I lost all desire to exercise. So I was the one that was like driving past the gym on the way home from work, even though I had my gym bag with my clothes in it, because I couldn't really get myself just to go park and walk in. I was like, oh, I just don't feel like it today, you know? And I realized that I had fallen back out of touch with my body. And so unfortunately our bodies do crave homeostasis. So if we've been static for a really long time, we'll just say this works. And so I think at first we need to feel our bodies, get ourselves, do a little gentle nudge to get ourselves out there and moving again. But that over time, then it just totally reinforces itself. And there's no more of a, hopefully no more of a dread of movement and exercise, and it can become a something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's I think about that very thing of driving past the gym and thinking, not today. So if there's somebody listening who is having that feeling, they don't want to go to the gym, what do you suggest? You're saying, you know, go for a nice walk, or what could I do in my house if I'm feeling isolated by COVID? What can I do in my house to, number one, get in touch with my body again? Mm-hmm. And number two, just start feeling movement that I might enjoy.
So then I think you have to kind of find what you might want, right? So it could start with something simple, like I'm going to lay down on my back and I'm going to breathe. And as I breathe, I'm going to feel on the exhale that my belly naturally falls in. I'm going to feel on the inhale that everything goes outward. That's just a simple, natural way we breathe, right? What's happening there is our muscles are actually at work, even though it's a passive experience. So when you're inhaling, everything is going outward. Certain muscles are stretching. The diaphragm is working. When you exhale, the diaphragm is relaxing. All your abdominal muscles are engaging slightly. And if you can just start to work with breathing as a simple thing, then you can start to go, well, what would it feel like if I, you know, moved my leg around or moved my arm around? I think it could actually be as simple as that at first. But I do think that if you're really out of touch, then it's really helpful to have instruction. So the other silver lining here we have with COVID is that you can do almost anything online now. More than even before. So you could take a dance class, you could take a Pilates or a yoga class, you could probably find a fitness exercise Zumba class, you could find a gentle weightlifting with 5-pound weights class, you could, and a lot of it's free right now on YouTube, but it's actually a little hard to find. Sometimes I think there's so much on YouTube that we don't know where to start. But I think if you even thought every day I'm going to do a 10-minute or so exercise video on YouTube till I find a few that I like, then over time you might find that. And then you might decide, wow, this is really great, but I want more real instruction. And then you could choose, again, finding an online instructor, because there's a ton of them now that have all moved their practice to more online. And you can actually get a lot of, I've been impressed throughout the pandemic having sometimes brand new clients that I thought, how am I going to teach if they're brand new? I've never even put my hands on them to show them where they want to feel this. But if I can guide them through, put your fingertips right here, this is where you want to feel this muscle working, then people can do really well at starting to wake their bodies back up.
Yeah, you make a good point that there are so many just gentle yoga classes available on YouTube and gentle meditation, and you're right, weightlifting and things. So I suppose if a person were to go on YouTube and just start inputting some of those topics, they could find something that would get them moving at home. I think we have a lot to be grateful to the Zoom people for. I keep thinking, wow, we need to give them some kind of award. So how do you measure fitness for optimum health? In other words, okay, I'm at home and I haven't been exercising. How fit do I have to be to consider myself truly healthy, to be able to look forward to a longer life or at least a happier life?
Right.
How do
right.
I measure that?
Well, you know, luckily it's with all these studies, there seems to be this really nice window of doing something like moderate exercise, which they give the example of walking all the time, for 30 minutes a day, 30 minutes to an hour, you know, is a great way for cognitive health, heart health, longer life, weight control. So it doesn't, and that's, to me, that's like, if you, that's your minimum, right? Like if everyone's doing that, then we can all be healthy. We can all be decently connected to our bodies. We can all be pretty, pretty good. And then from there, a lot of people will want to take it to the next level. They'll go, wow, I've been walking this route every day. Why don't I walk that route, which is a little harder. I wasn't doing it, wanting to do it for a while, but maybe I'll hit that hill now and see how it feels. And then we start to crave more of that physical push. There's so much internal reward physically that we feel, and also emotionally, I think, when we've pushed ourselves to do something that we thought was a little too hard for us, and then we actually achieve it, that I do think that once we start to get into that cycle, then our fitness just naturally goes up. So most people that have a certain degree of enthusiasm around exercise, they see themselves improving over time, you know, just naturally.
Yeah, you know, you brought to mind a podcast that I recently heard, a woman who's written a book called Breaking the Strings of the Invisible Corset, which has a lot to do with women and the oppression, if you will, of the beauty culture. But one of the Yes. things she proposes is changing your relationship with your body from an ownership relationship to a partnership relationship, which addresses a lot of what you've been saying right now, which is get in touch with your body, get to know your body better, listen to your body.
Yeah. And I have a client.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
She's super fit. She's in her mid-80s, and she does her Zoom sessions, so I see her twice a week. And she told me this morning, she gets up and walks. She lives in Seattle and walks up Queen Anne Hill multiple mornings a week with a group of other women. She said, this morning, my alarm went off at 6, and I was just so tired. I just turned it off and went back to sleep. I said, that's great. I'm so glad you listened to your body. She goes, it's exactly what I needed. And so a lot of times, if you can start to listen on both ends of the spectrum, that's what we need. We kind of get so angry at our bodies and shame ourselves. And, you know, so many people have body shame, that it's challenging then to get to that healthy space with ourselves. So if we can think of being, like you said, a partner with your body or being in touch with it, listening to it, then we don't have to get so mean to ourselves, basically. And we can benefit in that way too.
You are listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at voiceofvashon.org and 101.9 FM, KVSH, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Susan McCabe, and I'm here talking with Hannah Kogan, who is co-owner of Studio Lux here on Vashon, and the topic is fitness. Hannah, you mentioned an 80-year-old woman who is very fit. How does age fit into the fitness equation?
Oh, it's a huge part of it, but I think in the it can look so different. The most amazing thing, I have a lot of older clients, is that 80 can look really different, 70 can look really different, 60 even and below, 40 can look different depending on how well you've been in touch with your body. She, as an example, has been in touch with her body, I would say, her entire life. She never, you know, she really was active in her body and focused on it. So she, I think, has a great level of fitness. And at the same time, she notices for herself that she can't do the things she once did. And she's okay with that. So I think it's that recognition too, that the body will change over time. A lot of things will change that are out of our control. And we just have to kind of work with that as well.
So you're talking about what sounds like making friends with your body instead of the body hatred thing.
Yes.
How many folks do you run across who have overdone the fitness idea, and how do you help them?
Yeah, that's where I was when I started. I mean, not intentionally, but through too much classical ballet, which can be really hard on the body.
Yeah.
And so that's a whole different thing. It's like teaching people to be okay with less is more at first, and to also just a lot of those people have pushed, so they didn't listen to their body either. They just pushed to get the marathon, and they pushed because they knew every day I go to my CrossFit class. Nothing against CrossFit, but it's something you don't like, or you're pushing really hard all the time, but you do it for whatever reason. I think that takes, sometimes that's actually harder to work with at first, because people are like, this feels like I'm doing nothing. Come on, where's the hard workout? But if you're patient at first, it's always impressive to me how quickly things like the subtle versions of Pilates and things like that can get really challenging, because maybe you're working with balance or something that's a little more fine tuned, and you can't just push through it. And so then I think people can appreciate that too, that there's a level of challenge, more whole body. They have to focus a certain way, get the coordination, that kind of stuff. And if you can kind of target those levels, they're not going to feel maybe the high heart rate, but they're going to feel all those other levels of concentration and focus and get the same sense of working hard, even though they're working softer, you could say, or more efficiently. I think a lot of times it's about efficiency. Our joints are really well designed to work really hard if we have our subtle muscles working with our big moving muscles. One time it was described as, you know, so you have some muscles that whisper and some that shout. You want them all working together, you know, so our quads are going to shout as we walk, they're moving us along. But if we don't have our abdominals, we don't have our pelvic floor, we don't have our, you know, subtle spinal stabilizers, then over time that walking is not going to be so efficient, and we're going to wear into our hip joints. And over time our hips aren't going to like it, or our low back's not going to like it, or that kind of thing. So I think, finding efficiency especially for the people that have had a lot of fitness is really key.
Would you say that those people might be victims of a culture that that demands a certain look or a certain physical capability?
For sure. Our society has definitely pushed towards that, and a lot of people have really embraced that because that's what they were kind of taught to do. I mean, I've had to deconstruct a lot for myself still, you know, all the time. It's not a one-time thing, but I think that if we can step back and kind of see the bigger picture and tune into our bodies more, then it becomes more organic or natural to listen instead of to push.
You know, I agree with you. I think it's never something that happens overnight. Oh, this body that I've hated for years is really okay, and everybody's going to love me. I wonder sometimes if Zoom and COVID have relaxed some of those ideas, since we are seeing celebrities in their homes and in their, if you would, natural state, with their kids crawling all over them. Have you observed anything along those lines?
I've had some clients that actually really like that. They just totally, like you said, are in their own space. They're not even, some people have preferred to do phone calls instead of visual, so that I'm actually literally just cueing them through it, and I'm not seeing them, because they like the freedom of not being witnessed, and it allows them to make the mistake more or just accept their more. Other times I think the witness is actually key, and having someone witnessing them that's not judging them is also a beautiful experience that we need to have more of in our lives. But I do think that the Zoom, and also the fact that you can do things maybe a little more anonymously. You could take a YouTube video of a dance class that you might feel totally embarrassed to go step into if it was in real life. And yet no one's watching you there. You're by yourself. You could do martial arts. You could do, you know, CrossFit. You could do so many things at home. And again, some of that you have to be careful, right? You don't hurt yourself if you've been inactive for a long time or just are pushing too hard. But I do think there's a freedom in that we can do things in our own home and not be judged.
And be sure there's someone in your home who can call 911 if you overdo it.
Right.
Hannah Kogan, why don't you tell us all about Studio Luxe? What exactly happens there? What do you guys offer?
Sure. So we have private Pilates and orthobiomy and massage. We used to have Kung Fu that Levin Pugsley, my husband, was teaching, but that has all been put on hold with the pandemic just for classes. He does massage. I do orthobiomy and Pilates. He does a little bit of orthobiomy within his massage. And to us, it's that combination of trying, well, especially in my line of work where I can, someone might come in for Pilates because they have, say, back issues. And amongst the Pilates session, I'm going, you know, a lot of this is about their, where they are in their body, their hips are misaligned, their, you know, whatever it might be, this is really tight. And I can actually apply a little bit of orthobiotomy in that moment or say, do you want to try an orthobiotomy session? And so to me, I appreciate having that both ends of the spectrum that I can work with. Do they need the movement or do they need the kind of more rehab there? And so more of my clients are injured or recovering from injury or in that stage a little bit more. Although I do have some people that just, you know, again, want to do Pilates for the sake of exercise. And then Levin's massage, he does a lot of, he can do deep tissue if people like it. He is happy to do that, but he also likes the subtler work there with massage as well. He's taken a lot of orthobiotomy classes, so he can integrate that into the massage if people want it. So I think it kind of ends up being a nice balance that I think the two different types of things can complement each other. We have some clients who love to come do their Pilates session and then afterwards go get a massage. It's kind of like this lovely little
package. Oh, wow, that'd be a spa day.
Yeah, it is like a spa day.
That's great.
So,
and you have you have in place plenty of COVID protocols to make sure that people are safe?
Of course, yes. We're all wearing masks. We have a great air purifiers in the rooms. We're cleaning everything like crazy between clients, and so far we've been healthy, so we've been lucky.
In the last 2 minutes that we have, first of all, tell folks how they can find Studio Lux. Do you have a website?
We do. It's StudioLuxVachon.com.
That's pretty easy. And one last thing, what is the your favorite part of your job? What is it that gives you the most satisfaction?
I would say for sure when people come in and they say, I have to tell you something. I was on a walk the other day and this thing happened and I suddenly thought of you, or you forget if they even thought of me. I suddenly thought of this part of my abdominals and suddenly everything changed and I could feel everything so much better and my back stopped hurting or whatever it may be. It's these discoveries that people have in their own life that they come back and tell me about.
I could see where that would be satisfying. Yeah. Hannah Kogan, I cannot thank you enough for joining us here on Real Talk. And thank you, listener, for joining us as well. We're here every Tuesday where curiosity chases truth. And I thank you for sharing a little bit of your precious time with us. Take care, Hannah. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Stay tuned to Voice of Vashon.